Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 10, The Branches of the Chaitanya Tree, Text Number 8. Srivasa Pandita Ara Sri Rama Pandita. I guess it's supposed to be Srivasa Pandita Ara Sri Rama Pandit. In Bengali, they pronounce the A at the end of the word of the. Shivas. Dui bai dui saka jagate vandit vidit. Shivas pandit ara shri rama pandit. Dui bai dui saka jagate vidi. Ladies, Kribai Dui Saka Jagate Vandit. Srivas Pandit, Ara, and Sri Rama Pandit, Sri Rama Dui Bai, two brothers, Dui Shaka, two branches, Jagate, in the world, Vidit, well known. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The two brothers, Srivas Pandit and Sri Ram Pandit, started two branches that are well known in the world. Purport. In the Gora Ganadesha Deepika, Srivas Pandit, Srivas Thakur, is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And Sri Ram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvat Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. And as already noted, his niece, Narayani, the mother of Thakur Vrindavan Das, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was a sister of Ambika in Krishna Lila. We also understand from the description of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip, possibly because of feelings of separation, and domiciled at Kumarahata. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskyatya De Satarane. So today is, I believe, the appearance day of Shivas Pandit, as well as the disappearance day of His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj. Generally, Prabhupada on the appearance and the disappearance days of our acharyas, with the exception of his own spiritual master, Prabhupada very rarely, if ever, spoke on these acharyas. Although he advised us, when I first became a temple president, or one of the times I was a temple president, 1971 in Austin, Texas, we had a new temple, and there were all new bhaktas. At that time, if you were in the movement for 3 years, you were a super senior devotee. So it's all new devotees, and whatever Prabhupada said on his tapes, because there was no internet at the time, but there was the Golden Avatar Productions. And every week, if you had your subscription, they'd send you a cassette tape of Prabhupada's lectures. So in one such lecture, Prabhupada mentioned about the appearance and disappearance days of our acharyas, and he advised us, he said, today is the appearance day of these acharyas, so you should fast for half a day and then have a feast and glorify the acharya throughout the day. So that became the standard. Whenever there was an appearance or disappearance day of an acharya, we'd fast half a day and then have a feast. Unfortunately, every other day became an appearance day or disappearance of an acharya. So every other day became a fast day. Somehow or another, it was not very popular in our temple fasting every other day. And then finally came, Prabhupada said, the lecture, today is Ekadasi in Vrindavan. In Ekadasi, all the great devotees, they fast the whole day without even having a drop of water. And they stay up all night chanting Hare Krishna. So we tried that for a couple of weeks until we lost half our temple. It was too much. In any case, somehow in our temples, many temples, whenever there's an appearance or a disappearance day, that becomes the primary topic. But then one has to wonder, then how many times a year will we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita? And then after hearing the same stories over and over again, of course, they're all transcendental, but after a while, one may wonder about why do we have to hear the same pastimes over and over again? I guess because our memories are not very good. For instance, every day we repeat the same translation for the Guru Vandana prayers, and after 30 years of doing it, you wonder why has no one ever remembered what the translation was. I mean, Kali Yuga, it's true that our memories are rather poor, but there's a limit. Of course, if you ask the devotees, could you please give me a translation for the Guru Vastika prayers, many of our devotees would find it difficult to give an accurate translation for the Guru Vastika prayers. What to speak of even pronouncing them correctly. But in any case, we can say something about Shivas Pandit. Shivas Pandit is an incarnation of Narada Muni. That doesn't mean when Shivas Pandit appears, then Narada Muni disappears. I was reading yesterday in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni was speaking to Gopakumar in Dwarka, in the spirit in Vaikuntha Dwarka. And Gopakumara, for those who don't know who Gopakumara is a cowherd boy from Govardhan, who by good fortune met his spiritual master at Govardhan and received a mantra, a Gopal mantra, Madan Mok Gopal. And whenever he chanted the Madan Gopal mantra, then whatever he desired, spiritually speaking, would be granted to him. So he heard the glories of different places, both in this universe and beyond this universe. In order to achieve those different abodes, he was always chanting his Gopal mantra. And he went from the earth planet to the heavenly planets, to Maharloka, to Janaloka, to Brahmaloka, to the Brahman effulgence, to Mahashiva Loka, to Vaikuntha, to Ayodhya, and now he's here in Vaikuntha Dwarka. Our Dwarka here in the material world is an expansion of Vaikuntha Dwarka. And Gopakumar is always feeling morose, because wherever he goes, he's meeting Krishna, but he's meeting Krishna in so many different forms. Upendra, as Narasimha, as Narayan, as Lord Ramachandra, and he's even meeting Krishna as Dwarka Krishna, as the prince. But he doesn't really want an eternal relationship with this form, these forms of Krishna. He wants his eternal relationship with Madan Gopal. Krishna is a young cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And therefore, when he meets Narada, Narada is always observing that in all the different places, and even in the spiritual world, Gopakumara always appears to be depressed. He has a very sorrowful face and looks very dejected. Of course, no one in Vaikuntha, in Ayodhya, and Dwarka is actually depressed. It is hard to be depressed when your existence is full of spiritual bliss. But there's something lacking in Madan Gopal's heart. He's not satisfied with the bliss of Vaikuntha, or the bliss of Ayodhya, or the bliss of Dwarka. The bliss of Vaikuntha, the bliss of Ayodhya, the bliss of Dwarka is the bliss of loving Krishna. His heart yearns to love Krishna in the spontaneous way of the cowherd boys in Goloka Vrindavan. But Gopakumar is surprised, because wherever he goes, whether on this earth planet, or in Indraloka, or in Vaikuntha, or in Dwarka, he's always finding Narada Muni. So either he's becoming paranoid and thinking that Narada Muni's following him around. So he's wondering, why is it everywhere I go, you're there? Are you following me or something? So Narada Muni said, actually, as Krishna expands as different forms, so in order to serve Krishna and his different leelas, so his devotees also expand whenever Krishna wants. So simultaneously, Narada is in this material world with his pastimes of delivering Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and other personalities. And also he's in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, playing his veena for Narayan, or in Dwarka, preaching to Gopakumara and speaking to Uddhava. So similarly, Srivastava Thakura is such a perfect devotee that wherever he has to be in order to serve Krishna in his various ways, then he's there. And he's Narada Muni. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, the different incarnations come to serve him. Lord Nityananda, of course, is Lord Balaram. Advaita Acharya is an inconceivable combination of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. The transcendental devotees are the ones who can have two personalities and not be have a split personality. Probably if Advaita Acharya came and they gave him a psychological test, they'd commit him for having a split personality. But somehow or another, the different aspects of Krishna, when can be combined and harmonized in different personalities like Advaita Acharya. And at the same time, Gadadhar is said to be an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, an expansion of Srimati Radharani, Vrishabhanavi Devi. And Srivas Pandit is an expansion of Narada Muni. In the mood, and some of them are Shakti Tattva, such as Gadadhar Pandit. Some of them are Jiva Tattva. So Narada Muni is Jiva Tattva. And the others are Krishna himself, the Ishvara Tattva. Srivas Pandit is a perfect devotee. And this were in this age of Kali, it is very difficult to find a perfect devotee. But perfect devotees don't mean that their lives are smooth without any difficulty. It seems as soon as one becomes a devotee, as Prabhupada said, then one can expect a lot of trouble. When we're not devotees, we blend in nicely with the non-devotees. People don't take us very seriously because they know we're not very serious. But when actually one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then one becomes a threat to the non-devotees. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Krishna, when he comes, he doesn't come for a vacation to the material world. It's not that he heard, as Prabhupada said, that the ladies in the material world are very beautiful, so Krishna comes to check it out. No, he has his Lakshmis in the spiritual world. Everything is going on nicely there. When Indra came to seduce, when Indra sent his representatives, Cupid and some apsaras, to seduce Narnarayan, and Narnarayan produced from his own transcendental body beauties that made the apsaras look plain. And these apsaras, although they were dancing, that were sent by Indra, although Cupid was about to send his arrows, but actually Narada Narayan, by his potency, diminished their effulgences, and they realized they had committed an offense. So instead of cursing them, then Narada Narayan offered one of those beautiful apsaras that he had created himself, Urvasi, as a gift to Indra. So Krishna doesn't come in order to enjoy the material energy. As Prabhupada once said when he was installing Rukmini Dwarkadish, actually Rukmini Dwarkanath in Los Angeles, Krishna, he's not coming for your fruity halava. It is not that I am preparing halava to offer to the deities. I put some very nice raisins in the halava. Now, Krishna, I know he likes raisins. I know he has to accept the halava. No, Krishna only accepts the love and the devotion that's offered. He's not interested in any kind of material enjoyment. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has a purpose, and the purpose is not anything to do with this material world. He comes to vanquish the devotees, the non-devotees, to save the devotees, and to reestablish religious principles. In other words, in this world, there are many non-devotees, presently. And it would be useless for Krishna to come and kill all the non-devotees, because there would be no one to spread religious principles to, because there would be no one left. So Krishna has three purposes, and when there are no, especially in Kali Yuga, when there is an absence of devotees, Krishna primarily spreads religious principles. There's no need to save devotees because there are no devotees, hardly any devotees. And as far as vanquishing the non-devotees, if he did that, then there would be no one to preach to. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, Krishna is trying to create devotees through spreading religious principles. The primary religious principle is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is said to chant Hare Krishna, and if we chant Hare Krishna, then it's a religious principle. But in this particular Kali Yuga, when Krishna is also giving us love of God through the chanting of Hare Krishna, love and separation, he also comes himself personally as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva and their associates. And they show us how to develop religious principles at the same time we chant Hare Krishna. So Srivasa Thakura is a perfect devotee, and although he's a perfect devotee, he's showing an example of how to cultivate devotional service in this age. And in order to do that, Krishna is putting Srivasa Pandit through so many different difficulties, as we can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the life of the devotees in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also has some challenges, apparent challenges. But we should understand that these are actually not challenges to the devotees, because they're always situated in transcendental bliss. When Haridasa Thakur and Lord Nityananda went door to door, and they were telling people, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to go door to door and distribute Krishna consciousness to whoever they met. Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Aga Guruhana Taridesh. So this is the basic principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Whoever we meet, we tell them about Krishna. Lord Nityananda, Haridasa Thakura, they specifically told people about Krishna in this way. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. Worship Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, chant Krishna's name, and Koro Krishna Shika. Follow Krishna's instructions. Apparently, there was no need to distribute books at that time, because people were familiar from their childhood who was Krishna. There is no television. There is no internet. There are no movies. This was not prehistoric times. There are also no dinosaurs, in case you were thinking. Perhaps this is prehistoric times when there were dinosaurs roaming, and it was the right after the Ice Age when there was no television. No pizza. Oh, that's horrible. Who could live in such an age? There are no iPods and there are no cell phones. people are entertained by, generally speaking, by topics about Krishna. People would have plays about Krishna, they'd talk about Krishna, and therefore they were familiar with Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when Lord Nityananda told people, Bhaja, Bolo Krishna, chant Krishna's name, people were familiar with what he was talking about. He didn't have to teach them the Hare Krishna mantra. This was common knowledge. Bhaja Krishna, people knew how to worship Krishna, and they knew what Krishna's instructions were. But when they met someone like Jagai and Madhai, who became very angry hearing these instructions, then when they were chasing after Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, trying to kill them, we would wonder whether Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda would become fearful, but actually they simply found it like play. Haridas Thakur started to tell Lord Nityananda, "You somehow or another, I've gotten to this bad, your bad association, and every time I've gotten to your bad association, I've gotten myself into so much difficulty that somehow or another, because you're a drunkard, therefore you like to associate with drunkards. And because of this bad association with drunkards like you, therefore I've gotten myself into difficulty." And Lord Nityananda said, "No, it's not my fault. It's the fault of your master. I'm actually a good person. He's giving us all these bad things to do. That's why we're getting into so much difficulty." So blissfully, they were fighting with each other in a very blissful way as they were running away from Jagai and Madhai, who were trying to kill them. So, Kevala Anandakanda, the pastimes of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of bliss. There's nothing but transcendental pleasure. One time Prabhupada said, it is simply dancing, chanting, and feasting. And then when you get tired, you take a little rest. And then get up and dance, chant, and feast. Kevala Anandakanda. But we may question, but for us it doesn't appear always so blissful. Well, that's because we're not always engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, in his mission. Sometimes we're engaged in our material activities, in material consciousness at least. But Srivas Pandit shows us the life of a perfect devotee. And the perfect devotee means that people become antagonistic, because those who are demons, asuras, they, Krishna within their heart, he gives them the intelligence at least to understand that the devotees are meant to vanquish somehow or another either their asuric, demoniac mentality or even their physical body. It's a challenge. The demigods and the demons, they never get along with each other. As soon as the demigods get along with the demons, they become demons also. This world is a fight between the demigods and the demons. Even there is apparently a truce between them, as in the case of churning the ocean of milk, but the demigods never really take the demons very seriously. It's simply part of Lord Vishnu's trick to defeat the demons. When the demigod, Lord Vishnu told the demigods, take the front of Vasuki's body near the mouth, where all the fire and smoke is coming out of. Because he knew as soon as the demigods grab hold of the front of the snake, then at once the demons would complain, "Why are you grabbing hold of the snake's front? Why are you giving us its backside?" The demigod said, "All right, you know, you're our elder brother, I'll give you the front side. We'll take the back." the dirty part of the snake we'll take because you're a senior to us. But when the Vasuki was breathing out fire and smoke, the demons all got scorched and turned black, burnt. Well done, demons. So the demigods and the demons, they never get along with each other. At least our job, as Prabhupada said, although we're not about to kill the demons, because we ourselves may not be so pure, we may wind up killing each other. But Nora Prabhupada said, for instance, if we took the instruction from the Nectar of Devotion, where it says that someone blasphemes against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you at once cut out his tongue. So if that we took that true as verbatim, then we walk down the street and the whole street would be filled with tongues. We'd slip over the tongues. Because we'd be none too popular for doing that also. And then the next thing is that we're supposed to take our own lives. Therefore, it's generally advised to try to defeat Asuric philosophy by divine philosophy. So that's generally advised. We're trying to spread the Hare Krishna movement by not killing the demons, but by killing the false philosophy, Mayavadi and Voidist philosophy, which is the manifestation of the demonic philosophy in this age. And as soon as we become expert at doing that, the demons will realize what we're doing. We're actually defeating their philosophy, which has manifested itself in the form of so many demoniac, asuric industries that are so-called running the global economy. People, those who are actually profiting from such industries at the very spiritual well-being and material well-being of the common people, will at once try to defeat the devotees. But right now there's no need for them to do that because we're very insignificant. But once we become more expert, then we can expect that there should be some trouble, or else we're actually not doing our service very nicely. The demons are thinking, oh, these people are insignificant, or they're our friends, and obviously we're not quite on the right track so far. In any case, in the history of the universe, those devotees who become powerful have also met powerful demons. Or at least have met demons. So Srivas Pandit, being a perfect Brahmin, there are others who are envious of him. One of them, Gopala Chapala, he decided to defame Srivas Pandit. And therefore, he put the paraphernalia in front of Srivas Pandit's house for the worship of Durga Devi. Of course, in this age, if you put the paraphernalia of Durga Devi in front of someone's house, people will think he's a respectable gentleman. He's worshiping Durga. But in the community where Srivas Pandit was living, he had the reputation as being a first-class Vaishnava. So in order to defame him, they thought that Gopala Chapala, talkative, he put the paraphernalia for worshiping Durga. Wine and a certain red flower. What's the name of the red flower? Shoe flower? Hibiscus, yes, hibiscus flower. And the arti paraphernalia. So in the morning, Srivas Thakur woke up, he came out, and he saw the paraphernalia for worshiping Durga, and then he called all the respectable Vaishnavas in his community to come over. And he said, my dear respectable gentlemen from the community, just see that at night, secretly, I'm worshiping Durga. But I feel so guilty, I have to admit it. And here's the paraphernalia. Knowing well the exalted position of Srivas Thakur, then the gentleman, respectable gentleman from the neighborhood, at once called for the hati, I believe it's called, the sweeper, hata, to come and sweep away the paraphernalia because it was considered to be so contaminating. In any case, Gopala Chapala, because he had defamed such an exalted Vaishnav as Srivastava Thakur, he at once contacted leprosy and went outside the village because he had enough brains to know that he's contagious. He did not want to spread his contagion to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on passed by that way on his way to pilgrimage, and Gopal Chapala cried out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, "My dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I've heard you're an incarnation. You've come to deliver all miserable souls. I'm miserable because I have leprosy. Please deliver me." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great anger, said, "You rascal, you tried to defame Srivastava Thakur, a great devotee, and therefore my desire is that you'll burn in hell for 10 million years with leprosy. May these worms eat you in and out for 10 million years." So obviously that was a little depressing to Gopal Chapala. On the way back, again, from his pilgrimage, Gopal Chapala again pleaded to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "You rascal, you've tried to defame Srivastava Thakur. Only if you take shelter of Srivastava Thakur can you be forgiven and become purified." Gopal Chapala, realizing his mistake, took shelter of Srivastava Thakur and became purified, and his disease went away. Other pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were there, where Srivastava Thakur related how he had heard the Kazi, because he was chanting Hare Krishna, the neighborhood people told him they were going to pick up his house and throw it into the Ganges. And that the Kazi himself informed the Kazi representative they were coming to attack him. He should flee with his family before it was too late. So when they came to the Ganges, there was a boatman waiting for him, and that boatman took his family away and saved them from the predicament. When Srivastava Thakur was at Srivastanga and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was displaying his 21-hour manifestation of his different relationships with his devotees, and therefore before Srivastava Thakur, he said, "I came as that boatman to take you away to save your family." Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate te sham niti biyuktanam yoga shemam bahamiham. This is a manifestation that when we're actually in difficulty, especially spiritual difficulty, if we cry out to Krishna, Krishna will actually save us. Actually, we're always in difficulty, especially spiritual difficulty, but because of the age of Kali Yuga, we're thinking everything's all right. As it says in Spanish, "Barriga llena, corazón contento." When the stomach's full, the heart is content. So due to our being influenced by the illusory energy, especially that of Kali Yuga, if we get a place to sleep, something to eat, our life is more or less complete. And if we chant Hare Krishna, that's all right also. But actually, we're always in difficulty. We're dull, we're ill-advised, we're lame. We don't, manda samanda matiyo, manda bhaga upadrutaha. Kalena yapusha pusha. What's the first word of that? Apusha. Kalavas minyugejana, manda samanda matiyo. Kalena. Prayena yapusha. So prayena, almost always alpasha in Kali Yuga, the life, ayusha alpa, the life of people is very short, and they're lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. Therefore, our greatest enemy is to think everything's all right. When you think everything's all right, that's the worst time in our life. That's when things are the most difficult. And when we realize we're in difficulty, then when we call out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then our actual problems will gradually be solved. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the example of these great devotees and chant Hare Krishna, rely upon Krishna, know that although materially speaking our lives may go up and down, but if we chant Hare Krishna and come to the platform of steadiness and eventually taste, then attachment and then actual devotion, that's when our actual lives will begin and our material lives will end. And material life means difficulty. Whatever our material life is, it's difficult, and whatever our spiritual life will be blissful. Similarly, there is an example like His Holiness Sridhara Maharaj is known as a jolly sannyasi. He showed us how to take shelter, especially of prasad. Those who knew him knew that he always relished prasad, even in his last days. As Prabhupada once told Kirtananda, he said that the impersonalists, they may speculate day and night, but we'll eat our way back to Godhead. So prasad is this very special manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Sridhara Maharaj especially liked prasad. He was also interested in cultivating life members and spreading Krishna consciousness through different types of technology. And he was known as the Jolly Sannyasi because he was very jolly all the time in Krishna consciousness. So we honor these devotees on their appearance and disappearance day and try to take shelter of Krishna in this age of Kali. Yes, Madhuri. We have a microphone. Loud, do we have quick? You can choose first. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Sridhara Maharaj ki jai. His Holiness Sridhara Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Sridhara Maharaj is a very, very special sannyasi. His sannyas was given by Srila Prabhupada himself. He was a part of Radha Damodar team, and he was supposed to go because when Radha Damodar team started by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, so he used to take steel brahmacharis from different places. So Sridhara Swami was also supposed to be stolen by him. But Sridhara Maharaj fell in love with some girl he wanted to marry. At that very time when he wanted to marry, white band and green band came for stealing the brahmachari. And Sridhara Swami just went to the deities and ran away from the temple and he jumped into the bus. So he said, oh, I was saved. And then he flew to India and Prabhupada gave him sannyas. So from his brahmachari life, he directly entered into sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada told him to start the membership program. So Sridhara Maharaj is the one of the first pioneer devotees who started preaching in India. He is the first membership director who started preaching in India. They had brought the Garg Muni and Sridhara Swami. They brought the Mercedes bench, six bench from England, driving from England, and they brought the vehicles here in Calcutta. So they had a group of devotees traveling all over India. So if you go anywhere, even in Mirzapur, in my town area, they came in 1971 and they make all the top people life member. So if you go in Calcutta, you go in Bombay, you go in Muradabad, you go to Indore, you go any city, if you find out who is the senior most life member, they were all made by Sridhara Maharaj. So he was very, very, right Maharaj said, he was very jolly sannyasi. I had a great opportunity. Actually, I became Krishna conscious full-time devotee, or I was influenced by Sridhar Maharaj. When I met first time in 1983, actually I came to temple Radharas Bihari Mandir, and then I wanted to see somebody to speak. So I had one Ved Vyas Das. He was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple. So he thought I will take his time. So he took me to Sridhar Maharaj's office. He said, Maharaj, this boy is an advocate and also he is a philosopher. He is doing master's degree in philosophy. So he'd like to have some discussion with you. So Sridhar Maharaj's room, if some of you have seen his room, Maharaj has seen his room, right? In Bombay temple, he has couch in front of that. He will sit on the floor. He has big, big muslin. And then there is a sofa. So I sat in front of him. But as soon as Ved Vyas came out, Sridhar Maharaj walked out and he just hold me like just like a friend. He hold me like this. And he just took me on the sofa set and sat with me. So I can never forget. I have never seen a sannyasi, a person like him. He was such a great person. He immediately influenced me. I thought, oh my God, I'm such a small man. For India, to see American sannyasi was a very big thing. I saw many Indian sannyasi, but I never saw any American sannyasi. So he was the first man whom I saw as American sannyasi. I was very influenced that this Swamiji is just treating me like brother. He just sat with me. So he said, what you are going to study? Nothing, useless. Just read Prabhupada's book. Read Prabhupada's book. First thing he did. Second, he said, you know, Prabhupada just gave us prasad. And you see how fat I am. I guarantee, eat 10 days with me, you'll become fat like me. So we became so close friends. And actually, I did not know, because I was just calculating 13th March was his disappearance day. Early morning, I remember him this morning. I thought, hey, Sridhar Maharaj, what happened? So he forgot. Manupa didn't remember in the morning. He just announced, he didn't announce, but he told me, oh, today is Sridhar Maharaj's disappearance day, he wrote it. So we are very, and I was in Mayapur in his samadhi. Whenever I go, I sit. All his disciples are very friendly to me. And Sridhar Maharaj was very, very, he's giant devotee. He knows that you are very much against him. Actually, he was friend with everybody. But because he was a little heavy, many people, you know, think that, no, Maharaj will not do this that way. Like, for example, Rasaraj Das, he's a very great scientist. And Sridhar Maharaj has no good relation with him. He will always argue with him. But he said, you know, this boy is intelligent. Let us give him a chance to become the temple president. He said, I will work under you, Rasaraj. You become the president. So something, I have seen some great qualities in Sridhar Maharaj, that he will let you do, he will let you work, he will let you perform. He hopes that anybody and everybody can perform something great service to Srila Prabhupada. And this day of his disappearance, I request him that he showers his mercy, especially to get involved to preach Krishna consciousness. He has no rules and regulations. If there is some guest, some VIP, he will just hold open. One time, Hinduja brothers called me. They said that they cannot make by 9 o'clock because temple is supposed to close 9 o'clock. They were coming from the office. Sridhar Maharaj said, don't worry. Radharas Bihari is very kind. He will wait for them. And he waited for 15 minutes. They came for darshan. He was just holding her. He said, Mahamantra, don't worry. You just go, bring them. I guarantee they will wait for you. So Sridhar Maharaj was really a great preacher. So today we should just pray for his blessing, that he gives his same inspiration. He was 24 hours in preaching mood, like our Guru Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Always, any time you say that you want to meet and, you know, ask some question, he'll be ready. He will say, no, I'm taking rest. That is the man. There was no sign of don't disturb me. That is the man. Never. There was no sign that you say, oh, no, he's busy. He's always available to meet you. I think even in his transcendental form, he's available to solve our problems. Let us pray for his mercy on this day so that we can also become jolly and go back to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's service. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Srila Sridhar Maharaj ki!
Jai! I think we can just stop there. If anyone else wants to continue, they can do it. Grandra Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda.